Sprint Cup, NASCAR Nationwide, NASCAR Camping World Trucks, the NASCAR Weekly Series on both sides of the border. It's all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio, presented by Shell Rotella, heavy duty diesel engine oil, covering dirt to asphalt, on races, fame, short tracks, all the way to the high banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Now, here's your host, live from the Racetime Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, it is a perfect day here in Miami. Yeah, I wish the Racetime Radio studio looked like this, everyone. Welcome to Racetime Radio. Joe Chisholm here for the next 2 hours. Special edition of Racetime Radio here on the Score Sirius Channel 98. We're live at Homestead Miami Speedway for the Ford Championship weekend. What a beautiful weekend. Man, what a truck race last night. We'll get into all that a little later in the program. I want to tell you who we've got coming on the show today. We've got Ray Dunlap from Speed Channel is going to step on in here in a couple minutes, and we'll talk about last night's race. We'll wrap up the Camping World Truck Series from the season. And at 10:30, Bob Dillner should be popping by. We may have a few surprise guests here on the show today. We're set up on Radio Row here at Homestead Miami Speedway, and you never know who's going by. And they'll stop in and grab the mic, and away we'll go. We'll also hear today from Randy McDonald, team owner of the number 81 in the Nationwide Series. Randy is here. He's got his number 81 all set to go. Qualifying comes up later on for the NASCAR Nationwide Series, and his car is hoping to hit it into that show again and have a good day here at Homestead Miami Speedway. At around 11 o'clock or so, we'll hear from Kevin Conway. Kevin is the 2010 NASCAR Sprint Cup Rookie of the Year, and he's going to join us live here on the program. Big news last night, everyone, for Joey Coulter. You'll remember that name. Joey is the number 16 in the ARCA Remax Series. Away Joey goes into the Camping World Truck Series for 2011. Just announced last night he will be joining Richard Childress Racing for 2011. He'll be all set and ready to jump into that seat this year. And to wrap up the show, we're going to hear from Miss Coors Light. Rachel Rupert will join us here on Racetime Radio. She's a hot commodity down here in Florida, and she'll be with us here today. So that's what we've got on the starting lineup for today. I see Ray Dunlap has grabbed himself his headset. He's going to jump in here. Well, Ray, what do you think? That was what you call a super spectacular race last night.
Oh, Joe, I'll tell you what. Unbelievable. You know, when Kyle Busch announced a year ago that he was going to start a race team, I thought, you know, this is good news for the series. And I never could have possibly dreamed that he would have the results that he did. Now, you know, obviously I'm well aware of what kind of a talent Kyle Busch is, but still to come out and have that kind of a season. And, you know, last night's race was so interesting to me because he had that damage on the fender.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think, well, if he gets a top five, I mean, he's good enough to do that. But to get back up there and to run Ron Hornaday the way he did on that restart and drive away from him and win that race and obviously winning the Owners' Championship, it was a great night.
Yeah, it speaks volumes for Rick Wren and the whole group that's assembled there at Kyle Busch Motorsports. Those guys really did a fantastic job all year long.
They did, and what I thought was really cool was the fact that, you know, Eric Phillips got chosen to do that job. And, you know, I think he's a very underrated guy as far as the big picture. And last night in the media center, he got fairly emotional because John Nemechek lost his life at this particular racetrack years ago. And it was really the Nemechek family that really got him started, that got Eric into this game. And he worked on John's truck, and that's the way he worked into his role. And to be at the point where he is now, you know, I mean, he's third or fourth on the all-time wins list for crew chiefs in Camping World Trucks. And And obviously, driving, having Kyle Busch be your driver is going to help that out a good deal. But it was an emotional night for him. And you know, Rick Rann obviously has the numbers. He's got 27 wins as a crew chief in this series. And Kyle gave him a lot of the praise last night, which basically said, I could have never done this kind of a project without a guy like that.
Yeah, and I caught up with Rick Rann. Actually, I met him at Daytona right at the very beginning of the year. He was with Ron Hornaday the year before, and actually I didn't know that he had switched over to Kyle Busch Motorsports until that day. And when I was interviewing him and talking to him for the very first time, I was actually taken back by it. I thought for sure him and Hornaday would be together again because their chemistry was so well. Take a look at it. And then I started wondering afterwards, you know, is this all going to work? And it all did. I really, and it worked really, really well for that team.
Well, it did. And, you know, the thing that, you know, Kyle gave a lot of that praise to, obviously, last night to Rick Rann and to Eric Phillips. But, you know, where I really saw the telling story this year was how many times Hornaday and Kevin Harvick said, you know, looking back, they're like, we had no idea what a transition it was going to be to lose Rick Rann, and they lost Danny Stockman as their truck chief in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
So they went from a dominating fashion in 2009 and winning this championship to coming back and saying, wow, we lost two big keys in a three-piece puzzle.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hornaday didn't forget how to drive.
No.
And there's no question about that. I mean, you know, the guy's a multi-time champion and has 47 wins. So, and Kevin realized that and came back to a point where he said, look, we got to re-sign this guy. We got to go back out and chase another championship. We can put together the right pieces to get this thing. But realize Hornaday had three or four different crew chiefs this season.
Mm-hmm.
And they started out with Dave Fuge in Daytona, and they realized in a minute that that chemistry wasn't working.
Yeah.
And, you know, then moved along. But you know, again, my point is Hornaday's still a great race car driver, and they're going to get that program back on track. And it was obvious when he won Martinsville that, you know, they've got a team that can win races. But, boy, talk about bad luck. Man, he ran into a pickup truck of bad luck this year.
Yeah, and with the role at Talladega, and he just, one after the other. I spoke with him last night. Well, I'll play a clip here in a few minutes with Ron Hornaday. But really, his numbers here at Homestead have been really good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people had their eye on him last night as a guy who could win this race, and it was obvious when he ran to the front. You know, I thought it was funny because in the beginning of that race last night, Hornaday and Todd Bodine really weren't very good.
No.
And it took them to make a couple adjustments and for the track to come in and for it to, the air temperature to get cooler before they were really a factor. But I have to tell you, Todd Bodine, when he pulled in to win the championship last night, and I walked up to his window and I said, dude, what an awesome year. And he goes, man, we suck tonight.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you talking about? You ran well. And he said, no, he says, you know, we made an adjustment. I got it too loose. And he said, I had a truck good enough to win. And he said, I'm really aggravated. And I said, well, get over it, bud, because you're about to have a big celebration. But Todd thought he could win the race, and I think Hornaday was equally disappointed that he didn't get the victory.
Crew chief for Todd Bodine, Mike Hillman, running around on his scooter last night. He really did some laps.
Yes, he did. And you know, they were getting a little antsy when we had that red flag when the guy hit the end of the pit wall, and they said, you know, look, they're cutting into our party time here. We're ready to celebrate. But, you know, they had a nice little get-together function last night, which was cool. And it was – I think it's interesting, Joe, is all of these guys – excuse me, on this team, cherish this second championship even more. And most people say, you know, when you get your first one, it's extra special.
Yeah.
Well, their philosophy is anybody can do it once. We came back and proved that we have a great team and that we rebounded. And they had a horrible year last year.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
to come out of a really bad season and then dominate the way they did this year, he led 20 weeks of the points out of 25.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is. That's huge. Looking yesterday after qualifying, I was really surprised, I don't know whether you were, with Max Pappas. He was second quick when he was out there on that track. It was a really good qualifying effort for that 13.
And I'll tell you, that when you look at what Germain Racing brings to the track, that Max's team is very young. They just hired a new crew chief, which is Chad Kendrick, and I think that's going to be interesting to watch the progression of that team next year. you know, they haven't made any kind of formal announcement, but Brendan Gaughan's going to drive for that team next year.
Yeah.
And so they're going to have Todd Bodine, Brendan Gaughan, and Max Pappas. And you know, Max still has some learning to do about how these trucks handle because, you know, he's so used to the race cars and not the trucks. So it's a big learning process for him. But Chad Kendrick's a smart guy, and I think they'll get that team put together and be a contender. And, you know, Brendan won a lot of races when he was over here with his regular deal, and I see no reason to believe that with the Germain kind of equipment and the right budget and the right crew chief there that they'll be right there knocking that 30 around and going for wins.
I got a hold of Brendan yesterday. We'll have a clip there again a little bit later on with Brendan, and he's definitely excited to get into that number 62 over on the truck side as well. He's got a good car here at Homestead Miami Speedway in the Nationwide Series. They're going to qualify here shortly.
Yeah, and you know, I didn't get to see very much Nationwide practice yesterday.
No,
you know, I had a 16-hour day here at the track yesterday, which was a lot of fun. I'm not complaining, but I walked through the Cup garage and the Nationwide garage a couple of times yesterday, and I saw Brendan, and I said, "Man, looking forward to having you back." He's like, "Hey, I can't wait. That's awesome." He says, "But we've got a great race car. Don't discount the fact that we could win this race." And I'm like, "Well, you haven't been in position to win one of these yet this year." And he says, "Well, we still have one race left, so let's go do it."
Amazing. Looking at some of the young drivers that were on the track last night in the trucks, Derek White, the 2010 NASCAR Canadian Tire Series Rookie of the Year, was down here in the number six truck. Derek, I spoke with him, and I'm going to play the clips a little bit later. But Derek was really excited for this race. It was in a truck that he owns.
Right.
It was a Rick Ware number. That's how he got the provisional to get the start. He wasn't the fastest truck on the track, but he had a goal to finish the race. He did it.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Well, and you know, people, a lot of times you look down through the results sheet in any form of racing, and what you see in a finish position isn't necessarily what it really takes to get there, you know. And Derek runs so infrequently with us, and to come out and be competitive, you know, I mean, I've talked to him a number of times, and he's like, "Look, I'm just glad to be here." Because anytime you make a step up or in a lateral position, you don't know all those drivers. You don't know what it takes to make that kind of thing happen. And, you know, race fans say to me all the time, they're like, "Oh, such and such ran a starting park," or, you know, "Why is that guy not doing better?" And I tell them all the time, you have no idea how much effort goes into making it to one single race.
Yeah.
Every single race, and especially at this level. So if you're in a show in the Camping World Trucks, then you've made a pretty big step, no doubt about it.
Yeah. Now, yesterday was an incredibly busy day for you. You guys did the setup. You did the full broadcast. Did you feel that rain early?
Oh man.
I was thinking, it can't do this tonight.
We were on break at one point, and a little bit of rain was coming down, and I said, "You know, guys, I think I ought to be a weatherman." I said, "It's the only job in America that pays you where you can be wrong most of the time." And Darrell Waltrip flipped his mic on, and he said, "Well, I don't know, Camping Road pit reporters pretty high up there too." And we were just joking around about it, but I was a little worried about it because the weather forecast said 0% chance, and luckily it didn't impede our progress on the track at all. But you know, Brian France was in the media center yesterday, and somebody asked him about, don't you think it'd be better to take this final race of the year to Las Vegas? And he said, "Absolutely not. I couldn't disagree more." He said, "You know, the weather is great down here. The people really support this event great." And the difficulty with the Truck Series races is on Friday night, you know, almost an hour south of Miami.
Right.
And the traffic is just brutal. So people were saying, "Wow, you didn't have a very good crowd last night." And I said, "For a Friday night, I thought it was decent." Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'd like to have a lot more people, but I would like to see the promoters, Joe, in the future, at a lot of these racetracks where it's difficult to get people in on a Friday, to consider doing a doubleheader on Saturday. There's no reason in the world that you couldn't have the first race of the day start at noon and, you know, and the second race start at 3:30 or 4 o'clock and get them in.
Absolutely.
Easily, you know. And I just think it'd be a lot better ticket for the fan. You raise the ticket price $10.
Yeah.
You get a bigger crowd. You know, people get off work on a Friday night, and they're like, you know, am I going to spend an hour and a half screwing around with traffic to try to get down there?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to go home, I'm going to feed the dog, and I'm going to relax a little bit and have dinner with my wife or whatever. But Saturday morning, you wake up, and it's a beautiful sunny day, and you say, you know what, I think we should load up and fill the cooler full of Bat Blue and head down there and go to the Speedway, you know? And I really believe that it could pay off to the promoters in spades as far as the amount of money they could earn, and it would allow the fans a chance to come in and have a really fun day at the track.
Yeah, and I'm going to point right back to the
I don't know how I got there when your question was I worried about the rain, but that's just what I haven't slept very much, that's just so you know, but
you're doing a great job. You look at the Budweiser shootout day,
yep.
And that's what you get. You get the ARCA 200, the Bud shootout.
Yep.
It's a combined ticket. It's a dynamite idea.
It is, and I just, you know, we don't go to California Speedway anymore, but there was no more difficult racetrack in America to sell a Friday night ticket than an hour east of L.A.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it was just, we would run a Friday night race there, and everybody would look around and say, oh, my God, there's 6,000 people here. And I said, well, you were lucky to get them.
Yeah.
You know, most of them are camping here. That's the only way you could get in the gate. But similar thing. Dover is one of those places where we run a 4 p.m. on Friday race, and people just can't get there. I think that's a racetrack that should really look at a combined Saturday day. You know, Nashville, obviously, is running a combined weekend with us a couple times next year, and I'm not so sure you couldn't do a combined day there, too. Instead of doing a Friday-Saturday, do a doubleheader Saturday. I mean, so those are you know, some racetracks, and I'd have to pull the schedule out and look all the way through it, but I know there's at least four or five times where it would really work, and I think here, especially, you could get a big crowd on a Saturday, and plus it reduces your costs of operating because you don't have to have as many people here on a Friday.
Well, let's see. You did 16 hours yesterday with one show.
Right.
How many hours would you be here with two?
Well, yeah. Well, no more.
No more
hours.
Just a lot more prep work, I guess.
Well, yeah, a little bit. So, I mean, I wouldn't mind that at all. Part of the problem was they had a little celebration for Todd and the crew last night, and I couldn't find a ride to get out of here, so they made me stay. They almost duct-taped me to the chair, Joe.
They forced you. I can see that, Ray. And you look pretty good for having a day with those guys. Look, I got six beautiful cans
full
of Bats Blue from Canada. Now,
that's like a trophy.
Be careful. Those are Canadian beers,
right.
So they're a little hot. That's just like giving you a dozen.
I appreciate it, and these will come in handy over the next couple of days. We have the banquet here in Miami on Monday night, and I think that's one of the things that NASCAR really hit a home run with, which was the idea of saying people are already down here, they're going to be here for the event.
Yeah,
let's knock this thing out on Monday and not make you travel to an alternate destination in the middle of December. You know, everybody else has plans; they want to have a little bit of a social life in the month of December, what little that you can get away from this sport. But so I love that idea, and between now and then,
they were cold when we got here, but it's 80 degrees out here, so they warmed up pretty quick.
I'll put them in some ice.
Listen, we got to take a quick break.
Okay.
I want to ask you a question when we come back, and I don't know if I've ever asked it before.
Okay.
At least I don't think I did, but road courses for the truck series. And you're going to answer that when we come back from this break. Stay with us, everybody. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Ray Dunlap. We'll talk trucks. Stay with us.
It's Rick Wren. He's with Kyle Busch Motorsports.
You know, with Kyle, if he doesn't win, shame on us. He's very demanding as the race car driver, and he's learning about business very quickly. He's actually doing a very good job about the business side of things. This is going to be one heck of a year for Mr. Busch. Hey, Rick Wren with Kyle Busch Motorsports, and you're listening to Race Time Radio.
Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. The typical city involved in a typical day.
Race Time Radio.
Only on the Score.
Sirius 98.
Home of the hardcore race fan.
Rain-X Latitude, a revolutionary wiper blade from the makers of Rain-X Original Glass Treatment. Unlike most traditional wipers, Rain-X Latitude blades contour to your windshield, hugging it and creating even pressure from end to end, which produces a superior wipe and virtually eliminates streaking. Get ultimate visibility with easy-to-install Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. Visit Walmart for the complete line of Rain-X visibility products. Rain-X, outsmart the elements. Truckers everywhere know, sooner or later, it's going to get nasty out there. That's why Shell Rotella features energized protection. Shell Rotella T-Triple Protection helps control wear, deposits, and emissions. Shell Rotella T5 10W30 Synthetic Blend Technology can provide fuel economy savings. And their Shell Rotella T6 Full Synthetic. Learn more at Rotella.com or your Shell distributor or retailer.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
Okay, we're back here at Homestead Miami Speedway Live. Welcome back to Race Time Radio. Got Ray Dunlap with me from Speed Channel. We're talking about the Camping World Truck Series. Big race that happened last night. Before we went to break, I asked Ray to think about, what do you think, Ray, road course racing in trucks? We haven't seen it yet. Are we ever going to see it?
Well, we've had road course races in the past in this series, but the bigger question to me is, can you ask, after a 5 or 6 year absence, can you ask the owners to go out and build a specific race truck to run road courses? And the expense factor really doesn't make sense. But here's what a couple of people suggested to me. They said, go to the owners and say, look, we're going to have a road course race. We want to see your inventory of trucks right now. Make a log of that and tell them you have to run one of your current existing trucks at that event, and you need to declare which one it's going to be right now and not go build something road course specific. Because it really is, there's really, especially in trucks with our high center of gravity in these vehicles, there's a million things that people would do to their chassis to try to make it more competitive on the road course, much more than the cars.
Right.
Much more than the cars. And they just don't want that balance to get out of whack to say to a Mario Gosselin, you got to build a new one. And he'd say, oh, boy, I can't do that. I'm just going to modify one. Well, Kevin Harvick's guys would build two or three brand-new road course-specific, and they would just have such a huge advantage. But back to your original question, would it be cool? Oh, man. And, you know, we've got quite a few drivers in this series right now that I think would excel at that.
Yeah.
And then what you end up with is you get the Casey Rodericks of the world, you know, the young drivers who have excelled in that particular form. Justin Marks is a great
Justin
example.
Marks, yeah.
I think we're going to hear an announcement in the next week or two that Justin's going to have a full-time deal over here.
Oh, that'd be great.
And it's not done. I talked to the principals of that yesterday, but they all said we see a lot of light at the end of that tunnel. So, but a guy like that, that came in who's done, you know, so many races at Daytona and all the Rolex sports cars and all that kind of stuff. Man, it would be a lot of fun. And you know, Joe, the ARCA Remax series, the ARCA series,
the ARCA
brought
series
to you by Remax and Menards. You know, they've run at New Jersey the last couple of years, and they've had, you know, when you see that entry list, it's like there's a whole new wave of people who come running in to do the road courses. Now, let me expound just a little bit on that, because if we leave the truck series and start talking about the rest of NASCAR, you know, obviously the Nationwide Series has a couple of events, and the Cup Series runs at Sonoma and Watkins Glen. When you look at those entry lists, to me it's about the same thing.
Yeah.
There are a number of drivers that get replaced so that you can bring in Ron Fellows, and so that you can bring in Boris Said and a couple of those other guys. I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So my whole point is, to me that indicates that you don't have enough faith in the driver that you've got, that he can learn to do this adequately.
Right.
And you replace that guy for two events a year. I don't think those events should be on the schedule.
No.
As far as points-paying events.
Right.
If I were Mike Helton,
yep.
and you give me the reins to run NASCAR for a year, the very first thing I would do is I would take those. I would create a road course racing series for six or eight events, and I would eliminate the two cup races and the two or three nationwide races. And call those something different.
Yeah, standalone.
Standalone deal. And if Boris said and Ron Fellows and all of the other great road racers, Colin Brown and all those guys that are fantastic at that, want to come enter those and chase that championship, that would be great.
Yeah.
But I don't understand. Obviously, we've seen that Jeff Gordon and Tony Stewart and most all of these guys have become fairly proficient at it.
Yes.
Okay. And the ringers don't necessarily go in there and win the race.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't understand is why do so many of those teams need to hire an outside driver to compete in those two events? To me, it doesn't. It takes away from it being part of the overall series where you're chasing a championship.
And there, Bob Dielner.
Hey.
Yeah, he's got the Levad's blue.
Trophy. A trophy.
The reason why I asked you that question.
Yep.
Montreal was such a spectacular event with the Nationwide Series, and we had heard up in Canada, and of course rumors run rampant,
right,
that one day maybe a truck race. And if there was ever a truck race, you know, the NASCAR Canadian Tire Series guys, half their season is built on road course, if not more. It would be a real natural fit for that kind of stuff. But I can hear what you're saying with the expense, you know, building the trucks. And going back to your first point, that if you were to say, you know, you got to register your truck as that's the one for the road course, the only problem is all the big teams would know that coming in and they'd build that
and
truck
for that. That's exactly what would happen, and that's the way motorsports goes, is people would get wind of it and start working on a truck, and then they'd race it somewhere on a short track. But, you know, I love road course racing. I mean, I'm a big fan. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm not a big fan, but I do enjoy it. And I don't enjoy it as much as I do a race at Memphis or, you know, I'm a three-quarter mile. I'm a Richmond kind of guy. I'm a Pikes Peak guy. That's to me a three-quarter mile stock car side-by-side beating and banging. That's what I love.
Yeah.
But Montreal's a beautiful facility. I would love for us to go there. How you facilitate it, and can you really make that happen and make it fair to all of the players in our series? I don't know, and I think the feedback from the owners has been, let's not do that because it's going to cost me a boatload of money.
Yeah, and it probably would, but man, would it ever be nice to see these trucks up there, Ray? You got to see that race in Montreal live; it'll blow your socks off.
Yeah,
you'd have a ball.
I've been to the facility; I love it, and you know, I mean, I love
even the Toronto Indy on the streets of Toronto. To see these trucks on the streets of Toronto would be wild. But you know what? It's all, you know, stuff that may come down in the future.
I've seen, you know, years ago we ran an ARCA race out in Des Moines, Iowa, on a street course, and it was a really tight street course, and everybody said, "Oh, there's no way they're ever going to pass." And we had an incredible show because there was a lot of disparity between the really fast cars and the really slow cars, so there was a constant passing. And maybe that's what would happen in trucks, because, you know, maybe the disparity between the fast and the slow vehicles would make for a really great race. I don't know. We ran at Topeka for years, and I'll tell you, Joe, real quickly, the hottest I've ever been in my life, I thought I was going to die, was at Topeka for a truck race. And when the wind would blow, it was like a blowtorch, and you're like, well, if the wind wasn't blowing, you're like, I'm going to die. I need some air. I wish the wind would blow.
Yeah.
And when the wind started blowing, you're like, oh, my gosh, I wish the wind would quit blowing. It's killing me. So, I mean, it was one of the most miserable days of my life. And in the last three or four laps, we're watching, and the guys are going down the backstretch, and trucks just start running all over the place. Like Joe Ruttman went straight through a field and up over a fence and crashed, and you know, I mean, Hornaday never made it to the pits, and I can't remember who won that race, but what I can tell you is when I went to try to do some post-race interviews, nobody could speak because they were literally dying of exhaustion.
Isn't
I mean,
that?
It was, I can't remember ever seeing another sporting event in my life where people were just absolutely beat to the point where they could barely stay conscious, and there was 15,000 people in the grandstands, and how
and they mean, took it.
Why they came, I don't know, and how they made it through it, I don't know. But, oh, my goodness. I mean, it was just brutal. But it was a great first 60 laps of that race because the competition was just out of this world. So because of the way the trucks roll and everything through the corners, I mean, it'd make a great show.
I can remember one race like that I watched on speed, and it was from Martinsville. And I can remember them actually hoisting Ricky Rudd out of the car.
Oh, yeah.
He was just fried, and there was a pile of other drivers in line that day.
If you remember, that's when Ricky had just had a really bad crash at Darlington, and he had his eyes duct-taped open because he couldn't see. And, you know, and then luckily Dr. Jerry Punch was there to do Victory Lane and help him because he was embarrassed. There's been some rough ones at Martinsville over the years, but the worst Nationwide Series race ever was held at St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And the very first race they ran there, the track came apart, and it was one of those days where people were dying in the grandstand, and they had fire trucks, and they had hoses spraying straight in the air. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense that we're out for a sporting event that's supposed to be fun on a day when it's just that brutally hot. But again, I digress. I'm not sure how I got to that story, but
that's okay.
But anyway, I would like to see trucks race on a road course is your answer. Will it happen very soon? I don't think so.
Even be better if they were up in Canada.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Off season now? Well, kind of. After today, you got some stuff going on today, which we'll get to. But off season, what are you going to do?
Well, I have a wood shop, and I go out there some days and just lock the door and turn on the radio and piddle around and build stuff. And I'll leave my phone in the house and not answer the phone and do that. And I've got a couple of projects. I've got to build an entertainment center for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really nice about having that bit of off time is if you want to work on it for 40 minutes, you can.
Yeah.
If you want to work on it for 8 hours or 10 or 12, you just keep digging. And so that I get a lot of enjoyment out of that. But more so, we've got, you know, there's a lot of changes coming to speed over the course of the next year or two. A lot of new programming, a lot of ideas. Patty Wheeler has taken over as head of programming, and she's got a lot of great ideas of things she wants to do. And so we're going to have a lot of meetings and a lot of sit-downs that says, how do we, you know, I had lunch with her the other day, and she said, Truck Series is fine. Everything, what you guys do works. We don't need to tweak it. Some of our other shows and some of our new ideas we'd really like to work on, and I'm very excited, and so is everybody at the network, of hearing her ideas and as this transition goes on of what people in management are doing. So we've got a lot to learn about that and find out what all we have to do. But you know, Joe, I think Phil said on the show last night that it's 91 days to Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 91 days is a long time until you throw in Thanksgiving and Christmas a holiday visit to your family, and you look around and you're like, oh boy, it's January 10th. And we get our Daytona schedule and start working on the shows for down there. So it goes by pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I will probably do a scuba diving trip somewhere. That's sort of my side hobby that I like to go where it's warm and hang on the beach a day or two.
Well, if you ever decide to freeze your ass off, you're more than welcome to make a trip up to my place.
Right.
Definitely. Ray, I want to thank you for all you've done for Racetime Radio.
Absolutely.
And thanks for doing everything you do on speed. You make it exciting. It's a great race to watch on TV. I can't wait to watch the next cup race or the next truck race. What is going to happen today? What do you got up today?
Well, today I have a NASCAR Live coming up on Speed. That's at 1 o'clock, and we've got a neat story. We're going to cover Darrell Gwynn, who's here. He has a fishing tournament every year out here on the pond. On the lake here at Homestead, so that's kind of neat, special for me because he's been such a great ambassador to racing. So I'll get to do that interview, and then this afternoon my wife's flying in, so I got to go to the airport and pick her up, and we're gonna do a little bit of vacation down here between now and the banquet. But you know, Joe, the thing that I think often gets overlooked, you get to the end of this year and there's just so much going on in the garage area, and it's a lot of times hard to cover.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to be aware that by far, without any exception, without any question, 2000 and 11 is going to be the most competitive season ever in the trucks as far as teams and drivers. And literally my notebook yesterday was just like scribbled full. I couldn't even write it all down on some, a lot of the things that we're hearing. Some interesting crew chief changes, a boatload of brand new drivers coming into the series next year. And I'm going to have a lot of work to do just to get ready for all that because it's going to be neat. I've never been so excited. A lot of times you leave Homestead or wherever the final race of the year is, and you're like, man, do I need a break. I can't even imagine how our competition's going to be next year. Todd picked a great year
to win,
to go out and dominate, because next year it's going to be a hell of a lot harder.
Well, listen, thank you so much for all you do. You are the man, Ray Dunlap.
I appreciate you having me on.
And I hope to catch up with you throughout the course of the winter. I'll give you your weeks to play in the shed. But I definitely want to get you back on the show because there's all kinds of stuff happening through the off season. We'll get everybody all set for Daytona.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of news and a lot for us to talk about as a number of these dominoes have to fall over the next week or two.
Yeah.
A couple of sponsorship issues that weren't quite ironed out yet, but I think we could see 9, 10, or 11 brand new drivers in this series next year. And add that to the competition we've had, the way Thor Sport's been running.
Yeah.
I mean, we got a title contender there. You got Austin Dillon in the 3 truck out there knocking poles down and winning races.
The 22 coming.
You step back and you look at the there's no way to predict it. That's what I can tell you. Normally at the beginning of the season, you have one or two or maybe 3 guys that you would put in there with a real legitimate shot to win the title. Next year, I think it's going to be 10 or 12.
Wow. Wow. That's going to be amazing.
Cool.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Bob Dillner. He's going to join us. Ray, again, thanks so much. We look forward to hanging out with you throughout the course of the winter. I'll get you out of the woodshed every now and then.
All right.
Get you on the line. Fans, stay tuned. We'll be back in just a minute. Get aboard. Tough way to end that race. The 11 had that.
Yeah, we had the race won, but unfortunate way it goes. Jason's done a hell of a job for us all year. We run 3 road course races with him. We had it wind up to the last corner, but we've seen that happen before. So we've been in the business long enough. You know, what goes around comes around, and we didn't like the way that one finished. So we'll put that in the memory bank, come back, and enjoy the series.
Let's pack the puck. And we'll use that bat to open up the fenders. It's Race Time Radio. And it's presented by Shell Rotella. Here on The Score. Sirius 98.
Truckers everywhere know, sooner or later, it's going to get nasty out there. That's why Shell Rotella features energized protection. Shell Rotella T-Triple Protection helps control wear, deposits, and emissions. Shell Rotella T5 10W30 Synthetic Blend Technology can provide fuel economy savings. And there's Shell Rotella T6 Full Synthetic. Learn more at Rotella.com or your Shell distributor or retailer.
Rain-X Latitude, a revolutionary wiper blade from the makers of Rain-X Original Glass Treatment. Unlike most traditional wipers, Rain-X Latitude blades conjure to your windshield, hugging it and creating even pressure from end to end, which produces a superior wipe and virtually eliminates streaking. Get ultimate visibility with easy-to-install Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. Visit Walmart for the complete line of Rain-X visibility products. Rain-X, outsmart the elements.
Getting you up to speed on all things motorsports.
It's Race Time Radio.
And I want the rest of you cowboys to know something.
With your host,
the new sheriff in town,
Joe Chisholm.
Y'all be cool. Shut up.
Hey, Joe Jr., Ron Hornaday. Happy birthday, big boy.
Oh, my son's birthday. You want to talk? 24 years old. He's working today at Pepsi Cola in Canada. He's working, and he will just be dying listening to this. He wants to be down here so bad.
Well, a big happy birthday to him, and, you know, he's working at Pepsi-Cola. That's not bad. Not as good as, you know, Molson Labatt's brew there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you bring that for Ray Dunlap. Did you bring me anything from Canada?
Yeah, I did.
What did you bring?
I've got something.
Okay.
I got something. I don't know what
it
is. You're going
to surprise me, right?
Yeah, I'm going to surprise
you. Okay.
Guaranteed. Bob Dillner joins us now. Of course, you can't miss Bob on any of the Sprint Cup stuff. Busy days coming right down to the final race. What do you think?
It's exciting. I mean, honestly, we've come down here to Homestead for so many years now. I was here for the first race ever with the old NASCAR Busch Series, and I was on a pit crew back then. So we worked our way up with Ron Thiel and the Levitz Furniture number 87 all the way up to ninth, and then Pop went a tire with nine laps to go. So we hit the turn four fence. So I love coming down here because it's a different world down here. And it's a lot of fun, but we really honestly have never come down here with so much drama. And it's bad to the bone. I mean, these guys are throwing words at each other, and, you know, they're just, you know, saying, trying to get Denny all worked up. And, you know, Denny's, I think, getting all pissed off and so forth. And, you know, I like it. You know, Kevin Harvick saying he'll do what it takes to win the championship on the final lap and deal with the repercussions afterwards. And Jimmy saying, yeah, I dumped the 11. And, you know, yeah, that 11 guy, well, me, I have no pressure, but that 11 guy, if I were him, I'd have pressure. And, you know, Denny was in the media center yesterday, and he's like, you know, well, he keeps on mentioning my name, so I know he's worried about me. And honestly, you know, Denny's played it so calm, cool, and collected all year long, but now, I mean, I really think he's kind of acting like a scared little kid.
Yeah.
And I like Denny. And I would like to see him win the championship, honestly, because Denny has tried so hard. But he by tomorrow, he's got to get all this trash talking out of his head and just focus on that race car, because right now I think it's a detriment to him and the team.
Well, when you look at his owner, you can't get a smarter guy, the coach. You know, he's won Super Bowl championships. He's been there, done that. Do you think Denny is maybe picking anything up from Joe Gibbs and the experience from that in the psychological end of the race?
I think he is, but, you know, right now with so much pressure on him, and no matter whether he admits it or not, there is a lot of pressure on all three of these guys. So I think Denny, in the heat of the moment, doesn't understand or hasn't learned enough from Joe to actually apply it then. However, I think once he kind of calms down a little bit, he does think about it, and he does take the Joe Gibbs approach, as we saw after qualifying yesterday. He qualifies 37th. You know, he's not all too happy, but on television, once he calmed down, he was okay.
Yeah.
You know, but it takes a while for Denny Hamlin to actually do that. Look at Ray Dunlap picking up his Labatt's Blue there. But, you know, I know Denny Hamlin wants to be drinking some beer after this race and celebrating a championship. And no matter what, we're going to see something really cool here on Sunday. Either we're going to see history with the Drive for Five, you know, coming about with Jimmy Johnson, or we're going to see a brand-new champion. And that's what's really cool. And, you know, it's going to be intense. These guys are going to be nervous as can be. Mm-hmm. The crews are going to be nervous. There's going to be so much strategy and so much worry about making a mistake. And when you worry about making a mistake, sometimes
that's
when it happens.
Yeah, and, you know, if you're to look at the pressure pack situation that we're in, Denny Hamlin has got to feel more pressure than the other two.
Oh, definitely.
You know, Jimmy Johnson's won four times. He knows how to do it.
But let me tell you something. I still think all three of these guys, when it comes down to it tomorrow and their teams, the pucker factor is going to be unbelievable. Okay? So, you know, I think all three of these guys will be feeling the intensity of the final race of the year at Homestead tomorrow.
Do you think we're going to see a surprise in victory lane here tomorrow?
No. I don't think so, because, you know, I think it's going to be one of the same old crowd. It's going to be a Carl Edwards or, you know, heck, it could be the champion.
Yeah,
you know,
it could very well.
And that would be unbelievable. And it could happen possibly for the first time down here in NASCAR at Homestead. And I think that's fantastic, because it's like Jimmy and Denny both said, we got to go out here to win on Sunday in order to win the championship. We can't sit there and go, we need a top 10 finish, because, you know, an eighth place finish and then Jimmy winds up finishing second or first, Well, guess what? Denny, you just lost the championship. So they all understand that, and that's what makes it so darn exciting.
Has it been a different year this year, Bob, in the Sprint Cup Series? Like, I know we're tight, the championship's tight, but when you look right back to Daytona, has it been a different year? We see the spoiler or the wing at the beginning of the year change over to the spoiler. You know, more talk about ticket prices, trying to get the fan in there. You know, TV ratings, some of those are dropping down. Is it all circumstantial? Is it economics? Is it just, you know, the environment we live in today?
You know, the bottom line is we saw such a rise in NASCAR for such a long period of time. Anybody who thought that it was going to keep on climbing or even stay at that level was completely dreaming.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a roller coaster, and it's going to go up and it's going to go down and so forth, and it depends on the emotion of the sport. And that's why NASCAR said, boys, have at it at the beginning of the year. And we really didn't see it wholeheartedly until we got down to the nitty-gritty. And now we've seen a lot of boys have at it. And that's honestly good for the sport, because we need to get back to the roots a little bit. We need to see the human emotion. We don't need to see robotic speeches and vanilla people and so forth. And that's why I like Jimmy Johnson. He's coming out a little bit, and he's showing his colors and so forth. And that's what's going to put butts in the seats. That's what's going to make people watch. Fights between, you know, Jeff Gordon and Jeff Burton. Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You got Kyle Busch flipping the bird. Okay. Maybe that's not the appropriate thing to do, but you know what? People are talking about it. It's good for the sport. And we got a great championship battle. So all three of those, you know, put together, you know, are good things. And we need more of that, because if you don't have the human emotion, then this sport is just going to be cars going around a racetrack, especially with how equal they are. And honestly, think about it. I'm sorry, but NASCAR, some tracks this year have been downright boring.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There's no denying that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how do we make it better? That's what we should be thinking about, not necessarily, you know, just harping on the fact that we have poor TV ratings, or we have, you know, bad crowds, or we have boring racing. What we should be thinking about is how we're going to keep this momentum up that we built over the last three races from Texas to Phoenix to here to next year.
Yeah.
And that's what we really need to be doing.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to Daytona.
Yeah, me too.
It is just awesome.
Me too.
Listen, I want to change gears here. Yep. We bet speed51.com.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome website. You've worked your brains out in that, and you got a whole group of people that help you with that. Talk to me about speed51.com. It's a short track must go to website. The short track must go to website.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a passion, and that's what it started out as back in 2001. TNN was getting out of motorsports, and I was doing the old ASA late model ASA national tour, and basically got laid off from my full-time job with TNN. They're not doing racing anymore. Just kind of started the website for the lack of short track information on the web, and it's grown into the largest favorite short track site in the country. We tell us Canadians, they love it. We love you guys up there, but you're so passionate. And that's pretty cool. But, you know, we're all over the country this week. Now, I'm down here in Homestead for my boys. Girls are up there, especially right outside Daytona before the Governor Cup. That will be tonight. You can watch the Trackside Now coverage on speed51.com. And then we're headed to Pensacola, Florida for the Snowball Derby, the 43rd annual Snowball Derby, the first week in December.
Mm-hmm.
So speed51.com is the official site of the Snowball Derby. And you got, you know, over 100 late models that are going to be down there. The best of the best in the short track world are going to be down there. David Reagan's coming down,
and he's
going to be running that show in a potent Richie Waters prepared car. So it's a blast. You know, when I get done with here, so many people go on their little vacations and so forth. I'm heading down to the Snowball Derby in Pensacola, Florida, and going to have a good time down there.
And can't wait to do it. Some of the best short track races that I've seen. New Smyrna, Speed Weeks. I love watching the Speed Week action. I've been doing that for 14 years. And, you know, back when I had a racetrack, I used to have Sauble Speedway up in Ontario, Canada. Late models were, you know, huge on my list of favorite things. I loved Cup. I loved watching the trucks. I loved watching, at that time, the Busch Series. And, you know, everything that we tried to do in short track racing up there was trying to emulate what's happening on the big track. And, you know, Speed 51 is one of those sites that I go to all the time. I know my son is on it 24/7. I don't think you can do an update without him knowing it. He's right on it. And you know what? Short track racing is the roots of our sport. That's why we're sitting here today at Homestead Miami Speedways because of short track racing.
Well, you know, you walk through the NASCAR garage area, and proof positive was yesterday. I was doing the NASCAR Nationwide Series practice right in the middle of practice. Crews are scrambling. I'm doing the TV thing. And then I bump into a couple guys, and we start talking about the Snowball Derby.
Yeah.
Well, while they're supposed to be doing their job and I'm supposed to be doing my job, we're talking about the Snowball Derby. And that's what's pretty neat about that. You know, everybody's so passionate about the short track world and the garage area, and they pay attention to speed51.com and all the other avenues that kind of give it exposure. And we can't forget about the short tracks because, honestly, you know, we always talk about going to Bristol. We talk about going to Martinsville and how exciting Richmond, how exciting the short tracks are in the Sprint Cup Series. Well, there's a reason for that. They're on short tracks.
Yeah.
And honestly, at your local short track, you know, whether it's in the United States or Canada, Sauble Speedway to Pensacola with Five Flags Speedway, you're going to see some great action. So, you know, I have a passion for it. And, you know, I kind of dedicate a lot of my time to it, and that's because that's where I grew up, and I'm able to make a living now in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. I'm very fortunate. My dad reminds me of that all the time. But at the same time, I was a kid at Islip Speedway in New York.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was a figure eight driver, kind of retired when I got to be about 4 or 5 years old. We went to the racetrack every weekend. We'd take one of those orange seat back chairs.
Yeah.
He'd strap me in with his belt, give me his old steering wheel from his old figure eight race car, and then I would pretend I was my favorite race car driver going around the racetrack while he was on the track and annoy everybody next to me by making race car sounds to go with it.
Amazing. Junior Hanley was a guy that I grew up watching. Junior Hanley and Don Biederman, two of the world famous short track racers, beat each other all the time. And, you know, if they weren't beating each other on the racetrack, they were doing it outside the racetrack. It was amazing. And, you know, the good old days, you hear people say the good old days in short track racing. Well, I think today is the good old days for tomorrow. Like, I don't think you could get a better scenario than what we've got right now. On the short tracks, it doesn't matter where you look.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember seeing Junior Hanley and reading about him in the papers and then getting to meet him down at New Smyrna when he'd take his car down there. And he'd always have one of those chassis that he'd built, and it wouldn't be painted or anything because he wanted to save the weight.
Yes.
Okay, so that was Junior Hanley's little motto there, save weight, don't paint the chassis. And he was a hell of a racer. And when I was on the old ASA National Tour and we were covering it on TNN back in the day, I got a chance to get to know Scott Frazier, who unfortunately passed away a few years ago in a snowmobile accident. But what a great guy from Shubenacadie, Canada.
Yep,
you
yep.
know, and just in Shubenacadie, Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome dude, and a lot of great racers up there. And, you know, again, it comes down, the people in short track racing are so passionate about their stuff. You know, the modified people from the Northeast can't stand the late model people from the Southeast and vice versa and so forth.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, and that's a good thing, you know, because, you know, it's great to go down to a track like Five Flag Speedway for the Snowball Derby. I get to do the driver intros there every single year.
Yeah.
And I look up at the crowd, and it's a packed house.
Yeah.
And it's just incredible. I get goosebumps. And I don't get goosebumps for a lot of races. I get goosebumps for the Daytona 500 every year.
Yep.
I've been to the Indy 500. I've gotten goosebumps there and the Snowball Derby each and every year. Love going down to New Smyrna Speedway for the World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing every February during Speed Weeks down there. That's a blast. But, yeah, I mean, you're getting my blood running here because talking about short track racing, and it's just a darn good time. We love covering it with speed51.com and, you know, everybody that lends a hand to raise the exposure of short track racing is good in my book.
You want to believe it. Seen Andy Hillenburg just yesterday. You know, the big 150 is coming up, the Polar Bear 150. They got Kurt Busch coming behind the wheel to get out there. It's going to be a wild race.
Well, think about this. I'm going to invite all the Kurt Busch haters to go to Rockingham. What is it, November 27th or something like that? The Polar Bear 150. It's a street stock on steroids event. They put these big, you know, spoilers on the cars, and it's just bad to the bone. He's been preparing his car for quite some time, but you got to know that everybody out there in that field is, I got to hit Kurt Busch.
Yeah.
I got to knock him into the wall here. So if you're a Kurt Busch hater, get to Rockingham in North Carolina on November 27th because you'll probably see Kurt Busch in the wall.
Andy Ford, a driver from up in Canada, first time took a street stock, and he headed down to Bristol for the last Frank Kimmel National race. I had him on the show. Man, you got to hear it. The emotion in the guy – the text, the emails that he was sending me for updates, Bob, all the time. As he was on his way down when they got to the track, it was raining, blah, blah, blah. It was amazing, but he definitely won the award for the most in-depth, detailed email that I've ever received. It was amazing.
As long as he wasn't texting you and emailing you while he's in the car. Yeah. That's pretty difficult to do around Bristol, you know. But, it's pretty neat. I'm looking forward to the off-season, but my off-season doesn't start until after the Snowball Derby. And I'm going to take a little time off, as all of us need to do in racing. Heck, you'll go snowmobile racing, and, you know, I'll be drinking some beers in Indiana. So it'll be a good time.
Well, I love speed51.com. Awesome site. You do a tremendous job on that. Your whole group does. I'd like to get you on Racetime Radio when you get time. You know, send me an email. In the off season, we'll get you on and
Definitely. We'll
talk more. You get goosebumps talking about Daytona and going and talking about those short track races. I got goosebumps. The hair standing up on my arm right now, having you sit next to me and talk some short track racing and Sprint Cup. It doesn't get any better.
Well, I appreciate being on the show. And, you know, what's cool about you is so many people want, you know, us to come on the show, and all they want to do is talk Cup. And it's really nice to see your passion for short track racing, and, you know, hopefully it makes the whole world go. And but then again, you know what? I'm going to have goosebumps here tomorrow, too, because
it's going to be
a great championship battle. And today on Speed, we got NASCAR Nationwide qualifying and the first Sprint Cup practice. So hopefully everybody tunes in and checks that out today on Speed.
It's going to be amazing. Bob Dillner from Speed, thanks so much for dropping in. We're going to take a quick break, everyone. When we come back, we're going to have the 2010 Sprint Cup Rookie of the Year. Kevin Connolly joins us next. Conway, sorry, Kev. So, 37 David Elliott, second to Kyle Busch in heat number two. How's that feel?
Hey, that's the first and probably last time you'll hear that. I love it. It's been a long season, and this is a little bit of a reward, so I'll take whatever I can get.
So, what do you think, Jason? Second place out there.
Yeah, second's the first loser, so I'm pretty bummed out. Not really, but it was a good race, and just whoever starts on the pole has a pretty good advantage. But I think our car was really good. It was able to run Ruderman back down there, so be looking forward to the feature. You know, I think car's pretty good for the long run, and try to take care of the tires for 50 laps and see what we come away with. I want to get away. I
want to fly away. Yeah. It's time for a green flag pit stop.
Come on now, cheer.
You're listening to Racetime Radio on The Score on Sirius 98.
Truckers everywhere know, sooner or later, it's going to get nasty out there. That's why Shell Rotella features energized protection. Shell Rotella T-Triple Protection helps control wear, deposits, and emissions. Shell Rotella T5 10W30 Synthetic Blend Technology can provide fuel economy savings. And there's Shell Rotella T6 Full Synthetic. Learn more at Rotella.com or your Shell distributor or retailer.
Your 24/7 365 hotline to Racetime Radio is 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. Ricky, don't lose that number. Go ahead and leave a message. You just might make it up here.
Rain-X Latitude, a revolutionary wiper blade from the makers of Rain-X Original Glass Treatment. Unlike most traditional wipers, Rain-X Latitude blades contour to your windshield, hugging it and creating even pressure from end to end, which produces a superior wipe and virtually eliminates streaking. Get ultimate visibility with easy-to-install Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. Visit Walmart for the complete line of Rain-X visibility products. Rain-X, outsmart the elements.
Hey, Joe Jr., it's me, Austin Dillon. Happy birthday, and your dad told me to do this because he's really cool.